for a WWC mobile and monetary. KO4WWZ monitoring.
Hey, Chandler, I hear you got a new radio. KO4QLZ.
Yes, KO4WWZ, KO4QLZ. How's it going, man?
Just heading back towards my shop, coming from town. Trying to get some things done for the day.
On that, I hear you. Chris, it was good to see you at the race he's meeting. I'm hoping my signal's a lot better now. I'm guessing it is, because you wouldn't want me to be talking to me if it wasn't.
No, that's why I came back on you. Congratulations on the new radio. You're sounding pretty good.
KO4WWZ. Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. I'll let you get back to doing what you need to do. This is KO4WWZ, and I'll be clear on your final.
I'm arriving at my destination anyway. So, KO4QLG, I'm clear.
KO4QLG, this is N0TR. December 5, my friend. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How you doing, Tom?
We'll be just heading down to Aldi's, Chris, and Bernice is here.
Hi, Chris.
And hadn't got to talk to you in a while. Sure enjoyed the visit up there. And your friend's radio signal was just fine down here in Greer.
He'd been talking on a little ball thing, and it wasn't getting out very far. Think he had to run an external antenna or walk up to the top of a hill or something. But it sounds like he's got it solved now. How you doing, Bernice?
Doing good, and hope you are too.
Still got my ups and downs, but long as I'm above ground, I'm doing good.
Pretty well covers us all, Chris. It's that rare disease, AGE, you know. And AIDS, it creeps up on all of us. You know, the lumps and bumps and all of that. Back in Kansas, we called it the chuck holes of life.
What did you see? What? Colin, it's Chandler. It's nice to hear you. I just wanted to wait for when nobody was talking so I could catch you. How you doing today?
The pleasure's all mine. It's nice to meet you. Well, I'm doing fine. Frog hair split three ways. Can you beat that?
My grandfather always used to say, I'm fine as dog's hair, and I'm jumping up and down and spitting square nickels. So I have to say that's a pretty good thing.
Well, you got Bernice to laughing here, too. Go ahead, Chris. I can't beat that one.
Pretty good one, too. I'm at my destination here. I'm going to jump off here and get some things there. Good talking with you, Tom. Good talking with you, Chandler. I'll say 7:30 to y'all. KO4QLZ, I'm clear.
What? KO4WZ. Tom, can I get your call sign again?
Rogers, pretty simple. My name is Tom Rouse, and so my call is November 0. Tango Radio is what I usually call when I'm on HF, but it's truthfully Tango Romeo, if you really go by the proper phonetics, but seems like they vary somewhat. But it's N0TR, and originally from Kansas. Been down here a little over 12 years, and really love it down here, Chandler.
That's South Carolina is a beautiful place. I haven't had the opportunity to go visit the Midwest yet, but I hear it's very beautiful out there as well.
In the southeast corner of Kansas for 62 and a half years, and it was a very nice country there. People think of Kansas when they come through on the highways out there in the wheatlands, and there won't be a house every 5 miles or so. And they think, oh, that'd be terrible. Well, it's rough, but it's a way of life that people adapt to, I guess. And we were just 30 miles from the gateway to the Ozarks, down near Joplin, Missouri, in the very southeast corner. Be straight down the Kansas line from Kansas City to the southeast corner is about 125 miles. And so we could be in Kansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, or Arkansas in just a very few minutes. And, it was a living, and we didn't know, we didn't have the money to move anywhere else, Chairman, to be honest with you. And we're fortunate to be down here. Our kids and grandkids, the youngest one, the youngest daughter, they live here in Greer, about 14 miles south of us. And the other daughter lives up in Michigan, and she can have that. Come back to you, KI-4, I think it's WW0TR.
Zero Tango Romeo, this is Kilo Oscar 4, Whiskey Z. Yes, sir. When I think of Kansas, well, being from South Carolina, I think of Kansas, Tornado Alley. Have you ever seen a tornado?
I'd answer that in my normal way, but I can't on the computer. I mean, on the repeater. Yes, we've seen them. We saw one day from the front yard of our house. And I had the kids run get the camera, and I was taking pictures of it with no film in the camera. But my buddy got a good picture of it. We had tornado warnings every single year, multiple ones. And you didn't see a whole lot of them, Chandler. I've probably seen 5, 6, 7 in my life. And but they happened all around us all the time. And it's definitely Tornado Alley. The worst one I ever saw is after we've been here. 2 years, I guess. And we went back up to visit my wife's sister and my brother-in-law. And there was one in Joplin, Missouri. And I think it killed 190 people, roughly. And it was 6 miles long. What was it, 6 miles? I don't know. I think it was 6 miles wide and I don't know how many miles long, or else it was 6 miles long. But it was a big one. And we had one F4 in Alma, Kansas, or Franklin, Kansas, just north of us about 8 or 9 miles. It's N0TR. And we were driving north, and I saw it. You couldn't make it out for all of the debris it was kicking up. And I told Bernice, I said, we're not going out to your mom's today until after that storm passes. And we turned around. It was really bad. And then there was one in Pitcher, Oklahoma, that we was there right after it happened. And it looked sort of like an atomic bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima. It looks like Hiroshima after the bomb. Go ahead, Chandler.
I know that tornadoes can be a hard subject for people who live out there, so I apologize if I struck a nerve or anything, but I'm kind of into meteorology and storm chasing, and I know for some people it's not the same, but to me, tornadoes are kind of fascinating, so I apologize if my passion for the weather is a little upsetting.
Not upsetting. that in Chandler. It was a part of life. You just had to prepare for it. We could go next door to the mom and dad's basement for a long time. And wasn't much of a basement, but we went over there many times, waited till they passed. It was funny, one day my mom was pointing at some clouds, and she said, "Oh, that's where a tornado comes from." I said, "No, Mom, that's not got any circulation." About 2 weeks later, there was a front coming in, and I went over to Mom's and I showed her. I said, "Now, Mom, if there's ever going to be a tornado, there's your circulation." And she looked up at it, and after about 2 or 3 minutes, it formed a funnel cloud and come down, went right up the railroad tracks about 2 or 3 miles, and we watched it from the front yard, and it come down exactly right over a trailer park. It was as though the metal in the trailers were an attractant. I know that's probably not true, but it scattered trailer houses for 5 miles out there, Chandler.
Scattering mobile homes, and it was picking up 18-wheelers tossing them around. That's a pretty strong tornado, probably F4, ESI, unfortunately.
Wasn't quite that high. You don't see too many of them F4s or F5s, but mobile homes are not made for that. And then we went out past one farmhouse there going out to eat, and there was 2 people in that house, and it looked like you filled that house up with some C4 or dynamite and blowed it up. And that old man and that old woman walked out of that house, and it looked like fiddlesticks.
This was WWC in the APR. Thank God there's lives, man. I'm glad to hear that.
I've seen a two-by-four stuck in concrete before, and I saw a two-by-four went right through a Buick over in the shop yards over at the Kansas City Southern Shop one time when one passed through. We didn't even hardly know it had occurred. That two-by-four was stuck from back to front, right up through the front windshield. It done some strange things, Chandler. It was just part of life. You adapt. They have a few down here, but they're usually F0s or F1s. And that's bad enough. I hope I never see another one. We left Toto and Dorothy up there, Chandler, so to say. Anyways, Chandler, it's nice to meet you, and we've met Chris before. Maybe someday we'll get up there and visit with you, too. Have a good day. And tell me if I get your call right, KI4WWZ, it's N0TR Mobile, and we're at Aldi's.
Sign is Kilo Oscar 4, Whiskey Z. Signature's Tom, it's nice talking with you. Have a safe and fun shopping trip, and I'll catch you later on the net. Well, if not on the net, I'll catch you later on the repeater. This is KO4WWC, and I'll be clear and standing by.
KO4WWC, N0TR, 73, Chandler. Hope to meet you again, and we're clear.
Just a quick hello, Tom, W4NGU.
Phil, come out there. I'm sitting there getting ready to turn into Aldi's here in Taylor's. Nice to hear you, Phil. How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm just on my walkie-talkie walking over to someone's office on campus here, and I thought I'd say hello. I've been off for a while. I haven't had a radio in my vehicle, but that will be remedied.
Very good. That handy talkie's doing a fine business job for you, Phil. You can go ahead, Bernice. Oh, boy, the dandelions are coming out here, Phil, along with the clover. Just what we need. Our yard's looking really well, so I'm happy about that, but it's kind of a hobby anymore when you get retired.
Well, you've got about 8 minutes to fill up your tank. Biden's going to announce at 10:45 that we're not buying Russian oil, so you better hurry.
Little spider face there, because China will buy it because it's going to be sold to them at a bargain rate. So China's getting them fixed up with new MasterCards and Visa, only using Chinese money. I just don't know of anything that man's done right so far. And he needs to get these federal land drilling permits that they're in litigation with right now, trying to stop them from drilling on federal lands, or they have stopped them. He needs to open those up. The Keystone Pipeline, they could open that tomorrow, and it wouldn't do any good for a long time because it isn't built, and most of that goes for export anyways, but a lot of people just don't realize what's going on, Phil.
Comment.
Go ahead, comment, and I'm where I'm going if I can talk today. I'll talk to you a little bit later, Tom. Good to hear you, and I'll be listening for y'all, W4NGU.
Okay, Phil, have a good day. 73 Central Chart. Go ahead, Chandler.
Okay, I'm just wondering, so if we stop buying oil from Russia and China and all those places, how are we going to get oil to produce gas for our cars?
Well, Biden, by executive order, stopped the Keystone Pipeline, number one, and then he also stopped all drilling on federal land. He would have to open that up. Now, this comes from a layman. I'm not an expert on it, but he'd have to open that up. I mean, it's common sense. And let him start drilling again there and open all the oil well drilling. And he needs to open the fracking up in Canada to get some of that down here. Because Canada, we were energy independent, and we were exporting oil and natural gas, and he stopped that too, I think. We were sending that to Europe to keep them from having to buy from the Russians. So that's my opinion on it.
WWC, Venture TR. Yeah, I hear you 100% on that. To be honest with you, I really, really think that would be better for our country in the long run. Not to say that electric vehicles are not going to be a good thing, but as American people, we need to be able to live and survive. And with high gas prices, that's just not possible. So I'm hoping if the ocean back up, it stays that way.
Go ahead. I thought I heard a break in there. I'll pause here a moment.
KD2BNG. I'm not. The last I read, I don't know if the U.S. even has liquefied natural gas export terminals. And that was the reason we weren't exporting natural gas to Europe and other places. Because I don't know if there's any way to even load a freighter with liquefied natural gas. The U.S. has plenty of natural gas. Much more natural gas than we know what to do with. The U.S. gets almost no oil from Russia, less than 10%. Opening up our oil reserves or drilling for more oil, I don't know that that affects things that much one way or the other. I don't know how much further, it's funny. You're going to hear a funny thing coming out of the words of the mouth of a pacifist. I think the time for economic sanctions is done with. I think the United States has to do something, with or without NATO. Something in the more military realm. The Russians got to be given a really, really good bloody nose.
You'd make a fine Democrat. You ought to run for office. And yes, they exported lots and lots and lots of liquefied natural gas. I got to go. The wife's already in, Chandler. And I told you what I thought, and I think it's correct. So there's lots of propaganda out there, though. And I see it as everything a man's done so far is wrong. But we'll see. 73's Chandler, and I'll catch you down the line. This is N0TR, and I'm off on QRT.
73's N0TR. Say, WWZ, last station that called in before N0TR. If you'd like to queue through, I'm right here.
Kilo Delta 2, Bravo November Golf. Now, I've stopped watching the news. It's getting too depressing. And, you know, I never thought I would say this, but NATO is not going to do much of anything. The United States might have to act independently of NATO. The United States may have to take the initiative in creating and clearing the skies over Ukraine. And we have the advanced tactical fighters that can do that. The Air Force has 187 F-22 Raptors, which is an advanced stealth fighter and an advanced air superiority fighter. Air superiority means exactly what it says. Deny the airspace to the enemy. Clear his planes and then get rid of his anti-aircraft missiles. You know, I don't know if the U.S. wants to take that step. But this has to end sooner rather than later. Because I think actually the longer something goes on, especially without results, the more likely it's going to escalate, or the more likely it's going to expand into a wider war. But as for what the U.S. should do or may do, you know, I don't even really know. The situation is going to spin out of control until somebody forces our hand anyway.
It's kind of like Pearl Harbor is how we got into WW2. I'm just going to be honest here. I can't really say what I want to say over the radio, but I think we should do something in a military manner about Putin.
The point is, I think sooner or later the U.S. is going to have to do something unilaterally. And I think it involves those advanced tactical aircraft I mentioned, which, you know, that's their job. Go up there and deal now the only thing we got to watch out for in this case is, you know, the F-22 will eat flankers and fulcrums for breakfast. The only problem is we have to watch out who we're shooting at, because both sides are flying the same aircraft. And that tends to limit your options for engagement, because now I have to get close enough to actually see you. And if I can see you, you can see me. So sooner or later, the Russians are going to know who's doing this.
Putin did say if anyone tried to interfere, he's going to come back fighting hard. So, yeah, I'd be a little concerned about that. Yeah, I'm going to step inside real quick and grab me a drink, a bottle of water, and I'll be right back.
I'm going to step out and get a bag of cat food or something. I'll talk to you in a bit. It's KD2BNG.
BNG, KD2BNG, 73 for the moment. And just one more question. What time does Biden speak?
Again, what time is what?
President speaking.
I haven't been following the news lately, and, you know, the papers are getting awfully depressing, so if there's anything like that, I haven't heard.
Okay, that's one of WWZ clear. Thank you, sir.
Sarah Zoe, you're listening.
For WWZ, mobile and monitoring.
Okay, you're
hospital to see you. Nice to hear you again, sir.
What were we discussing? What to do about Vlad the Insane? Obviously the UN is of no use. NATO doesn't seem to want to get involved with anything that would involve a potential direct conflict. And I don't know. Poland and Slovakia want to transfer. They got MiG-29s that they bought at some point from the Soviets. They'll give them to the Ukrainians if you have some way of smuggling them in there. And the U.S. will replace them with F-16s or whatever, you know, whatever an equivalent aircraft is. But I guess it's just a question of give the Ukrainians the tools they require.
Yeah, I hear you on that. KUTDNG. I can't really think of anything else that we could do other than a military strike.
If there's a way to totally cut off, you know, nations like Germany are still buying oil and gas. Unfortunately, that's 44% of what Germany needs as far as, you know, find a way to totally cut them off so that nobody needs to buy anything from them. How to have Europe replace its supplies that it won't be getting, I don't really know. I don't really know that we export natural gas. In spite of what Tom might have said earlier, I might have to research that. Because I don't think there's a natural gas loading facility. And certainly there's no natural gas pipeline, because obviously you're not going to reach a pipeline across the Atlantic. But too bad, too, because the U.S. has billions of cubic meters of natural gas it doesn't really need.
I hear you. Listen, Peggy T, D, and G, I can hear you. You're very audible, but you seem to be cutting out every now and then. Are you currently in a mobile?
Well, I'm less mobile now. I can see if the antenna got unscrewed again.
KUTDNG, KF1WWC. I heard a break in there, but I didn't know who that was. Can you pause just for a second?
Sierra Zulu Mobile, I was just commenting that both of you are loud and clear. Over.
1WWC. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that very much.
Sometimes it does go funny because at the top of Paris Mountain or Caesars Mountain or whichever mountain, there's a problem with the wind blowing the feed lines around. Some time ago, they took the antenna that was on one of the towers and they moved it further up and added more feed line, which may have both solved and created problems. So I think a lot of the times the static you might hear is a loose feed line getting blown about.
That makes sense. KUTDNG, KF4WWC. Who does the work on the bars or theater? Who maintains the VR, the Blue Ridge or theater?
He used to be Ray, K something SUG, but he became a silent key some time ago. Ask W4DJW, who actually does the actual maintenance. I mean, it's the club repeater, obviously, so somebody at the club does it. But yeah, Dave would know. What did I just say? W4DJW would know. Because he knows other things about the repeater. For example, if you may not know or you may not care, there's actually an output tone on this repeater. There's an 88.5 hertz output tone. In case case you ever needed to block out the other traffic that's on the Tennessee repeater. So he knows about the details of the computer boards, the other circuitry on the repeater is, and the echo link system, and how it's programmed. He would know all that.
City KGNT, KS4WZ. Alright, thanks for letting me know. I'm just wondering, have you ever made contact with Gary Live, W4EEY?
I can't say I remember either the name or the call sign. I'm not always that good with either. When I hear someone's call sign a dozen times, maybe I'll remember it. I'm usually not in a position to take notes and to write things down. You know, we should all have a logbook of these things.
Copy. I set up my TRZ logbook, but if you ask me how I use it, I couldn't tell you. I don't even know how to log my contacts and cues.
Required to maintain a logbook. In actuality, I don't think anyone in the history of ham radio has ever really cared. I mean, you know, enough to really try to enforce it. But yeah, I don't, and most of the time if you're on 2 meters, you're not in a good position to write things down anyway. And it's typically a vehicle radio.
Yeah. I was actually considering looking into buying a old police cruiser, former Crown Vic, the police interceptor, so I could make the mounts for the computer and a couple of radios and scanners and stuff, and so I could be logging my contacts as I'm sitting in the parking lot talking on the mobile.
About the Crown Vic, they were used as police cars for a long time. They were used as taxi cabs and livery cabs. That was the second biggest user. The thing you got to watch out for is, even though they may have some of them may have low mileage, they may have spent a lot of time idling, and that's not good for the engine. You know, your typical police car goes to a call, you know, a domestic, a robbery, some damn thing, and it sits there and idles. You know, a lot of times the same thing with a taxi cab or a livery cab. So, you know, they may have been well maintained. They may have not that many miles on them. Well, cabs probably do. But the miles were, most of the hours on the engine were spent with the engine idling, and that's not real good. You don't get proper lubrication.
So, how do I bypass that problem, or how do I fix it?
You may eventually need to have the engine rebuilt. At the very least, the piston rings replaced. Let's see, what else would tend to go? Yeah, mostly it's excessive wear on the piston ring. And they probably didn't do a lot of engine rebuilds. Because taxi cabs especially, that vehicle is making you money. And you want to maintain it, but you don't want to spend a whole lot of time maintaining it. You know, you don't want it off the road for engine rebuild. But, you know, the other thing is, people say, oh, look for low mileage cars. Low mileage cars that a little old lady ever drove to church. That was the only mileage she put on those. Well, there's a problem there, too. Tires don't do well when they just sit around. And, you know, also for various other reasons, internal combustion engines don't do well when they just sit around. And they're run only sometimes, you know, not often enough. So, some of the low mileage cars, it sounds counterintuitive, paradoxical, but the low mileage car may not be the best one for you. Not that I'm by far not an expert on cars. I've ended up with more lemons than Minute Maid.
Copy. thank you for the advice. I really appreciate it. I just know for a fact that the owner, if I buy a used police car, I'm going to be more likely to be able to mount my equipment in there, especially if it's an automatic. And I could have it placed on a laptop so I could do my logbooks in a mobile. But I don't know. I don't know. That may be other cars out there that are good for that. I don't know.
Let's see. The other one widely used is a livery car. Generally not a cop car. It was a Lincoln Town Car. Those are nice big cars. You know, have decent suspension. If they've been well cared for, they're good cars. They got a lot of interior room. That was never a police car. Those were usually livery cabs or limousines. So you might look at that. You know, medium, mid-sized, big cars. What else? Caprice Classic is what a lot of the police fleets went to when the Crown Vic no longer became available. You know, another nice mid-sized car with decent room. Smooth riding, good suspension. I'm not so much in the mood for in the market for a big car myself. I never really cared for them. But let's see what else I'm trying to think of. There's a lot of good used cars in that category that'll have room for radios, computer terminals, and that sort of thing. Heck, an old police car might even have some of the radio mounts and some of the computer mounts still there. You know, the equipment is gone. The mounting bracket may be there. I don't know.
Yeah, that would be what I would be looking for. If not, be looking for the kind of mounting brackets and other things. The place used, the new radio I got now that I'm talking on is a Motorola Matchtrack. These radios used to be in police cars, from what I've heard.
Right, we may have spoken about that before. Yeah, the old Motorola Maxtrax, they were good radios. And you also mentioned the Motorola portable radio, whatever it was you mentioned. Yeah, Motorola radios were designed to be rugged. You know, it's designed so when your portable radio flies out the window of the fire truck, flies over the overpass, lands on the ground below, and a truck runs over it, it should still work.
Yes, sir. The portable radio I was referring to would be the Motorola HD-1000.
Worked at Motorola. Why couldn't I come up with that? Yeah, the HD-1000 was common. They were popular. They were mostly cheap. The other one to look at, I don't know how many of them were tunable within the ham band, is the Sabre. The Motorola Sabre. There was a bunch, dozens of different VHF and UHF models. But that's mostly battery. The radio itself is not that big. It's got that enormous clip-on battery. Those were good radios, and for handhelds, I'm trying to think of what else. You know, those were also police and fire department and public safety radios, so they were tough. For handhelds, yeah, for mobiles, the Maxtrax I like. You know, I'm not necessarily wedded to Motorola either, but they did make a good product.
There is a more modern Motorola HD that I would really love to get, but they're really, really expensive. It would be the XPR7550E.
Like it's one of their commercial radios. There's an XTR series, I think that's a business band radio. And since it overlaps the 2-meter band or the 70-centimeter band, it's probably good for those too. I don't know if those were designed as rugged and reliable, and, you know, if it's the radio I'm thinking of, it might not be.
X-ray, Papa Romeo, 7550 Echo. XPR7550E.
Got me there. Yeah, I mean, I was only working at Motorola briefly, and mostly what we were working at that time with was the iDent product line, which was Motorola's attempt to integrate two-way radio and cell phone systems. You remember Nextel? That was the iDent system. And there were a couple of those radios. There was one that was called the SoCo. It was made for Southern companies. And there were two, there were a couple of others. And I think I may have mentioned this. In the Motorola plant, in the display case, there is a SoCo that had basically been incinerated in a forest fire. There's a photo of it. And just, you know, take out the circuit board, put new case and new buttons, and it was functioning just fine. And I might have mentioned this one, too. I think it was one of the Indiana State Patrol was having a problem with, I think, also that radio. And it turned out to be a battery problem. Oh, yeah, every time we try to use the radio as a billy club, the battery pops out.
AO4WWZ, KC3NG. You told me that one last night. That's still funny.
And we gotta redesign the battery clamp so it doesn't pop out when you do that. And I remember one time in the building I was working in, I would see people from like the fourth or fifth floor of the stairwell dropping the radio to the bottom of the stairwell. What are you trying to do? Oh, yeah, that's another battery test. You know, it's supposed to fall these four or five stories and the battery doesn't pop out. I didn't realize what that was. I thought it was some sort of breakage test. It was a battery test. No, an actual breakage test, I think you need a stick of dynamite because a lot of them were pretty much built that way.
KDKDNGKF4WWC. I'm just wondering, you said you worked for Motorola. Is there a Motorola plant in South Carolina?
This was in Plantation, Florida. They had a big facility there on Sunrise Drive and what's the cross street? University Drive and Sunrise Drive. They had a big plant, which was a factory facility and also an R&D facility. The factory facility was running in the late 90s, but it closed probably not that long after. And I'm not even sure it was the production line. It was a prototype production line. I'm not even sure they were actually making actual products. They were producing engineering prototypes. But kind of fun to watch the production line because it was, you know, the circuit board assembly and pretty much everything except the final assembly of the case and the radio and the buttons and keypads and stuff, it was all automated. So you would see this raw circuit board material go into this one machine, which would cut it up into individual circuit boards. It goes on a little current conveyor belt it goes to a pick-and-place machine, which, faster than your eye can see, grabs components out of a bin and puts them on the board. Then it gets flipped over and wave soldered. Then another pick-and-place machine does the components on the other side. This thing moves faster than your eye can see. Grab the next component out of the tray and put it on the board. Let's see, then the board, no human hand ever touches the board. And there's some, you know, a human operator is necessary to put the case together and put the keypad and display together and do some simple testing, and then it goes to packaging and it goes out the door. And they would produce like a couple of thousand radios a day, I'm sure.
Sounds very interesting, to be honest with you. Sometimes I wish I could been born and lived my life back to the early 80s and late 90s. Man, I tell you, it seems like the technology back then for ham radio was really cool.
I'll declare and stand in that and look.